Let's start over. Sorry about that.
Okay.
Sure.
All right. Hello, my name is Tara Sexton. I am here with Carrie Neumeyer. And today is Thursday, October the 4th, 2018. And it's around 7 o'clock. And we're going to start our interview. And my first question for you, Carrie, is when and where were you born? And are you from Louisville?
I was born in Louisville in 1980.
Okay. All right. And did you go to high school and college here?
I went to high school here. I went to college at both the Kansas City Art Institute, and then I transferred and finished up at the Art Academy of Cincinnati.
Okay. All right. How do you think growing up with a mother who is an art teacher influenced you to go into this kind of work?
My mother was always creating when she wasn't working, and my father actually is a writer, and so there was a lot of emphasis on creativity in our household, so I think it had a pretty powerful effect.
Okay. And if you were a crayon in a box of crayons, what color would you be?
Burnt orange.
Okay. We're going to talk about how you got involved in the music scene here in Louisville and around maybe what time period?
I got involved in the music scene when I was around 13, would have been around 1993. There were some kids at my school who had a band and who were playing shows, and they were kind of weird, and I felt like I was kind of a weird person too, and I didn't quite fit in with a lot of the kids my age, as I think most preteens probably feel. But I wasn't very good at being a traditional girl. I felt just like I didn't belong. And when I was in a part of the music scene, there was a part of me that connected to the energy and sort of the rebelliousness of what I was seeing. And I was just, that was it.
Where did you shop maybe for records or CDs when you were here in Louisville growing up?
Oh, yeah. Ear Ecstasy was, you know, the place where everyone went. It wasn't just like going to buy something. It was like going to the town square for weirdos. And so you would go there and you were friends with all the people who worked there, and you'd see all your friends. You would bother them and ask questions, buy records, find flyers for shows. So Ear Ecstasy, and then a little later Ground Zero was another one where, again, we'd go after school and hang out with the people who worked there and bother them for hours. So it wasn't like going to a record store, I think, now. It was different. You just camped out there all afternoon.
And how did you hear, like, new music or share music with other people?
Going to the record store, getting recommendations from the people who worked there. Going to shows and seeing bands who would pass through town, buy it directly from the artists.
Okay.
Sometimes mail order.
Okay. So describe some of the venues that you like to or did like to go to, still like to go to, or that you frequented, you know, throughout your lifetime?
Well, when I was, you know, like 13, 14, the venue at the time where they offered all ages shows was this place called Tooligans, which became Cahoots, and then is now, I think, a club called Nirvana. It's on Bardstown Road, and it has like a very storied past. But when I was young, it was, you know, kind of like nothing special. It was sort of run down. It was dark. But it was special. I remember the air conditioning didn't work very well, and there would be like hundreds of kids who would be at shows. And one memory I have is there were just these big coolers of water, and everyone would pass them around, and we would just dump them on our heads because it was just packed with kids in this space with not a lot of air flowing through, but it was felt very exciting. Oh, and you could smoke in bars then, so it was just like you were choked with cigarette smoke too. So that is a positive change that that, you know, you don't have to deal with the smoke I'm sorry, you said that was then. You're saying now?
Yeah, too? Like now. Where do you go now as an adult?
Where do I go now as an adult? The best venues we have right now are Zanzibar, Headliners, Kaiju. I still prefer, I go to big shows sometimes. I went to see Janet Jackson at Yum Center. That was awesome, but that's a kind of a different scale of what I grew up with and what I generally go to now. Everything's kind of cleaner and nicer, but I don't know.
Okay.
Yeah.
Where or who are some of your like local influences or people that you look up to here in the music scene in Louisville?
Well, probably the person who had the most profound impact on my life is someone who's passed away. His name was Jason Noble, and he was a really incredible musician, artist, kind of leader in the community. He really like brought people together, made really beautiful music that was experimental and unique. He was a lot older than I was, but made me feel like I had something to give. And I always looked up to him as kind of like a mentor, as well as his bandmates. And then there were a couple women in the music scene who I looked up to a lot. One of his bandmates was Tara Jane O'Neill, who now has a really successful solo career, and she lives in Los Angeles. And she was the first woman I ever saw playing music, and I saw her, and I thought, well, I want to do that. So, yeah, we'll just leave it at that. There's a lot of them. There's tons of people who influenced me.
What were your impressions of the Louisville scene, like, back in the day? Up till now.
It was my whole world. I mean, it was where I felt like I started playing music. I developed confidence for the first time because I played in a band. I had made flyers. I had booked shows and promoted shows. It was my whole world. And at the same time, there were things about the music scene that were difficult being a girl. It was pretty male dominated and sort of harder to totally connect with people who were like you, I guess. I don't know.
Okay.
Yeah.
So what is your favorite memory of like playing here or going to shows here? You know, like, what stands out to you?
Well, I mean, it's been like, you know, the majority of my life, so it's kind of hard to just pick one thing. I mean, there's so many different moments. I guess one that stands out actually was like earlier this year. One of my bands was playing with a band called Girlwood. It was my band Julia the Wolves. It was one of our last shows that we were playing, and it was a free show at Zaz Pizza Pub, and it was packed, and it was full of majority women or queer people, and it just all of a sudden felt like this was the community that I'd always wanted as a kid, and it was there, and I got to play a show, and it was just this beautiful energy, and it felt supportive, it felt alive, it felt like it was beautiful. And I remember it was a free show, but we'd asked for donations at the door, that we were donated to help with families who are separated at the border, and I think we raised, I can't remember how much it was like maybe like $400 or something that people just gave. You know, they didn't have to, but they did. And that was pretty memorable. It was sort of like, oh yeah, this is what I always wanted, and here it happened.
throughout the time that you've played and been in bands, what kind of people did you usually meet, or like what kind of relationships did you form with people?
Well, I mean, lots of close friendships. It's, I don't know if there's like a kind of person. There's just like a lot of different people who are coming from all different perspectives and, you know, levels of musical interest. And, but I think they all share creativity and a desire to be a part of a community.
As far as the Louisville scene, how do you think it was different from the national scene, like during the 90s and 2000s?
Mm-hmm. Everything was regional then. You know, there was like bands that would pass through, or when I went on tour, there was, you know, there were bands that sort of had a similar sound, like in Chapel Hill or in Boston, or various like little other communities. What did I think was different about Louisville?
Mm-hmm.
Louisville had always sort of, which I think maybe this is different now, had a little bit of an inferiority complex. I think that we were always kind of a small town that was trying to prove that we had something to give. And so I think that Louisville had a little bit of a chip on its shoulder and a lot of pride in its own music scene and not wanting to look outward as much. And so while that can be seen as kind of a negative thing, it also, I think, helped define the sound here because everyone was influenced by each other. And so I think you saw a lot of people that were sort of interested in experimenting with time signatures, with dynamics like really loud and really quiet parts within a song, kind of experimenting with the juxtaposition of like pretty with loud and harsh and abrasive, like within the same song. So, yeah.
And now, what kind of changes have you seen since then? Like, how has it changed? Like, how is it now?
Well, I think, like everything else, the arts are more global. I think that things are less regional. They're less specific to certain communities. And everyone is getting influences from everywhere because you find music on the internet. So there, we lose a little bit of a regional sound, but at the same time, people can kind of pick and choose from a whole world of ideas that they might be influenced by.
Okay. You are a very busy person.
Yeah.
You do a lot of things. So of the many projects that you worked on, what project means the most to you, or what's close to your heart?
Well, I have a tattoo on my arm. It's the first tattoo I ever got. It says GRL on it, and it stands for Girls Rock Louisville, which is the organization that I co-founded and currently run. And it's an organization that's all about empowering girls and gender nonconforming youth through music. And I think that's the best thing I've ever done with my life.
How long have you been working on that?
For 4 years.
Okay.
So we're going into our fifth year.
Okay. So you started from the ground up.
Yes. Okay. Yeah, and it's turned into a full nonprofit, and so it's like learning how to run a business and being a principal and being like all learning how to do everything from scratch.
So what gave you the idea to do it?
Well, we're part of a network of Girls Rock Camps, the Girls Rock Camp Alliance. It's a network of like nearly 200 camps around the world, and we all share resources and connect with each other. So it's not like this was my own unique idea, but it was something that I really wanted to see here, and we built it our own way and, you know, had help along the way from people who had done this before.
In the project that you have been working on, the Girls Rock Louisville,
mm-hmm.
what have you guys accomplished, or what's been the most important thing that you guys have accomplished so far? Because it is new.
Well, this year we had around 50 kids who were participating in our summer camp, and we had over 70 volunteers working with the camp, and it was just, I mean, it's hard to sort of sum it all up really concisely, but it was just our best camp yet. It had, just seeing the way the kids have grown, because we had a lot of returning campers, and sort of seeing the initiative they're taking and the confidence they have and the seriousness with which they approach their own creations, and the way that they treat each other with kindness and generosity and love. Like, it's really powerful just to see what they have done with this and how they've run with it, and, you know, how eventually I hope that they will take it over and keep it going. We did have a concert that sold out Zanzibar with a line wrapped around the block. Yeah, there have been a lot of really cool things with that.
That was the next question, is how the summer camp went this past year, but we'll go on to the next question, which is, where do you see Girls Rock in the next 5 years? Like, what would you like to see happen? Or in the long run, even further down?
I think what's most important to me is that it stay true to its mission. I don't necessarily think that getting bigger as an organization is necessarily getting bigger. I think that as long as we are serving our mission, which is building self-esteem and making genuine connections and relationships with the community and being very intentional about everything we do, then I think that's the best thing that can happen if we don't sell our souls because we're trying to support ourselves with selves by, like, chasing after funds for things that don't actually serve the organization's mission. You know, I think as long as we stay true to who we are, I will consider that a success. I mean, that said, I want to be able to serve as many youth as we can. Right now, we have more demand for our programs than we're able to meet. They sell out, and we don't have the capacity yet to offer multiple programs. And so I would just like to see us be careful with how we grow and make sure that we keep the quality.
So the Girls Rock Louisville, what ages of youth do you have that participate?
10 to 18, and then we actually offer an adult program, which we're doing next week, and that's for 21 and up.
Okay. All right. And have you had any in the past 4 years? Have there been some really good success stories that came from Girls Rock?
From Girls Rock? we got a lot of campers who have become volunteers, who have started their own bands that have performed outside of camp. I think what I'm most proud of is the friendships that have formed across differences in times where we're very polarized culturally. I think that we build bridges through the arts, and I count friendship and genuine respect for each other and seeing each other as human beings, and you know, looking for ways to be, just to, like, love each other better across differences. I think we do that well, and I think that's the thing that I'm most proud of.
What would you say to the next generation of upcoming young musicians, female, male, any musicians, anybody that wants to play music?
I would say that you have to figure out why you're doing it. Hopefully any sort of art form helps you. Okay, let me start over. So, like, making art and music to me is kind of like a spiritual thing. It is something that gives me a sense of purpose, of freedom. I feel like I am totally immersed and happy when I am creating something. And I hope that a young musician or artist can tap into that within themselves, because that is the absolute most important thing that will stay with them for the rest of their lives. It is a source of endless discovery and joy. And collaboration is also a source of joy. And if you can focus on that part and focus less on any sort of success or trying to turn what you are doing into an income revenue or a means of like gaining popularity or fame or likes on the internet, if you can focus on the joy part and tap into that in yourself, then that will be something you can carry with you forever and is more important than any of the other stuff.
I think something that's kind of relevant is, how do you think that the social media age has changed music or changed the people that are interested in becoming artists?
I think it depends on my mood and the day. I think that, you know, there's like lots of wonderful things about it. You can find other artists and musicians who, you know, you connect with and be inspired by. That part's great. It's so easy to share what you're doing with others. But I think sometimes in a haste to share, sometimes we focus on that part of it rather than the developing the work itself. So I think that there are ups and downs to it, and it just all depends on your own relationship with that.
Okay. Do you think that it's changed anything, like people that come out to shows or how things are published or how people know about different things?
Sure. Well, it's a lot easier, I think, to find out about things, but it... On one hand, it is. If you already know specifically who your audience is, you can find them and they can find you easier. But also there's sort of an oversaturation of everyone sharing all of their things all the time. And so it feels less special when there is an event or something like that. So,
how do you think that your feelings about your artistry have changed?
Well, I think some of the advice that I would give to someone younger is advice that I would give to myself, because I spent a good part of my 20s really feeling frustrated or comparing myself to other people, that maybe I wasn't achieving some sort of level of success as someone else. You know, my band started the same time as My Morning Jacket, and I was friends with those guys. And so you see people in your peer group, their popularity, you know, people who make it, I guess. And you compare yourself to that and you feel like, well, I guess I suck and maybe I should just quit. And I think that that's just such a mistake, because if you really love what you're making and what you're doing, then you realize that like popularity and success with music is something that's fleeting for most people. If it happens, it might happen just quickly and then it's over. It's better to have a longer career, and I say career as far as like that you just keep making no matter what it is, because it really is the journey that is the reward. It's you don't just make it and then you're done and your life is happy. I mean, making music or art is all about just the process.
So what are some of the bands that you have played in or had longest running success, as far as you guys staying together, still making music? What are those successes for you?
I am currently in a band called Second Story Man that I have been playing in since I was 18 years old. So we've been together, this is 20 years. And there's been a couple lineup changes, but my bandmates Evan and Jeremy and I have been together for 20 years. And I think that's pretty special.
That's pretty successful. 20 years is a long time.
Yeah. We also played in a band called Julie the Wolves that recently had to end because one of our bandmates moved, but we were around for 6 years, and we would have stayed together if she hadn't moved. So I'm into long-term band relationships, I guess.
Okay. What do you feel like, or do you feel like it was hard for you to gain entry into the Louisville music scene as a female?
Definitely. Yes, it was. I think that, you're always trying to prove, I'm still trying to prove myself. I mean, on some level, there's always someone who is sort of questioning your ability or your right to be in the space. Like, I was just playing a show recently and someone assumed I was the girlfriend and not there to perform. I mean, it's, you're always trying to prove yourself. It's gotten a lot better. But as a kid, you know, the girls who were there were the girlfriends. Or they were just like, you know, someone who was just irrelevant, you know. So it was hard at first, but it wasn't hard for me to find bandmates, though, because I played with other girls who didn't have experience at the beginning. And so we learned together, and then when we played our first show when I was 16, people were kind of interested because it was something different. So in that way, we sort of stood out a little bit, and I felt like I was respected because I was a part of this band that was something a little different.
You think it changed as you got older?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, it definitely is the kind of thing that, you know, like I said, you keep having to prove yourself to people you meet, but I think of the people who are my peers, men, women, whatever, like after a while, you've just seen each other forever and you have all this history together, this sort of shared history of this music community, and I don't know.
It's okay.
I'm not being very articulate there.
That's okay. What do you think has changed as far as like gender acceptance or in the past like 20 years since you started playing?
I think that what I used to hear when I would go to shows when I was younger from mostly people my age who were younger than a lot of the bands who were on stage, you know, were comments about the way that women looked, about their bodies. I didn't hear people describe the musicians who were women on stage as like great musicians. They were hot, you know, or whatever. And that's definitely changed, or at least people won't say that around me, you know? So I don't know, maybe people still say stuff like that. But I think that women are seen as more equal contributors to the music scene. There's just a lot more of us out there now than there were before. And, you know, the scene has become, the underground music scene is, I think, become much more queer and trans inclusive. I mean, I think it always was to a degree, but it wasn't quite as front and center as it is now, which I think is awesome. So that's been a, I think that's been a big change. I think there are bands like Girlwood, who, you know, I just saw in the Leo Reader's Choice poll just this week was the number one band, and they had like the number top song, top band, and that was pretty exciting to see. Sort of like, oh, that wouldn't have happened in the 90s. We've evolved.
Okay. What are some other things that you're working on? I know you do some illustrations.
Mm-hmm.
Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, I taught art in JCPS for 8 years, and then I left and started doing freelance illustration. Really, I love to draw. I like collaborating. Illustration is, you collaborate with the art director and the writer, and it's kind of a back and forth with coming up with a concept and then bringing it to finish. So I really enjoy doing that kind of work. And so I pick up freelance stuff once in a while. I have an ongoing assignment with Louisville Magazine. I've done things with Kentucky Center for Investigative Reporting, and I don't know, whoever shows up and wants to do something, you know, I'm usually game for. I do a lot of art on my own that's just kind of for me. And I work, lately I've been working like 4 hours a night just on paintings. So, yeah.
Did that start a long time ago, or is that just something that's been recent to like paint and illustrate?
Illustration is different because it's a lot more controlled, and the stuff that I do on my own is it's a lot less controlled. It's sort of more free and more abstract and more intuitive. The illustration stuff is obviously like more commercial, and it's has you know, subjects that it's expressing, whereas the other stuff is sort of more about, yeah, just feeling or intuition.
Okay. Is there anything that you would like to add on to the interview before we close?
I don't think so.
Okay. Any other questions?
Did you ever get to join the Louisville Miniature Club?
Whoa. You all listen to some stuff. Not yet. That's a project for down the road.
When you have a free moment. Sounds like you're really, really busy.
That's for retirement.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Well, thank you for being with us.
Oh, thank you.
Interview. And
so what's going to happen with this? I don't. I,